working Monday night, and Tuesday might not be quite right. So come by Sunday, Sunday night I'm free.
Hello and welcome to, I can't remember what, episode 4 of series 3?
Yeah, like we said to you a minute ago, didn't we, that like we're a bit slapdash with this, but like we never cease to amaze ourselves, even how slapdash we are when we get to the recording.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty confident it's episode 4, series 3.
Perfect.
Let's go with it. I'm Lucy Pinder, here's my wacky sidekick. Beth Granville.
I'm Beth Granville, hi.
And we're so excited this week to finally, we've been trying to get this guest, well, we haven't been trying to get her, we've been talking about between us getting her. We kept going, we must get her. We finally got model, documentary maker, podcaster, all-round wonderful Welsh lady, Miss Jess Davies.
Hello. Welcome. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on. We've wanted to chat to you for, well, since we started the podcast.
Yeah, literally. Well, I think you and I had a conversation, actually, now I recall, when you were talking about starting your podcast, which we'll go on to. I replied to you and I left you a voice note, and obviously we've still never met in real life, but I left you a voice note saying, I hope you don't mind voice notes. And I was outside that donut van in Porthcawl. Do you remember when we went there?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm rarely not outside a donut van in Porthcawl, but I was like, and I said to Lucy that I'd messaged you, and obviously you two knew each other, but you were asking about a podcast because you were thinking of doing one, and we did one.
Well, we did. Me and Jess, I think we haven't seen each other in the physical. We shot together, didn't we, for Nuts magazine?
Yeah, in, like, we did. How many, Lucy's like, girls. I think you were the front cover, and I was like one of Lucy Pinder's girls.
Oh,
that was years
God.
Ago. Probably,
I think,
like,
it was. I said to Beth,
elite,
I think it was
at least seven,
called something.
At least seven, eight.
It's got, it must be about 10. I think it's about 10.
God.
And it was called back in those days, it was called something like Big Boobs Are Back or something equally as...
Oh my God.
But so it's lovely to like, to have you on. Where are you? Are you in Wales now?
Yeah, so I'm in Cardiff, in Penarth, actually, which is where you're from, right, Beth? From your Instagram, from my social stalking of you. So yeah, I'm right on your turf.
Oh my gosh, that would have been wild if we'd seen each other in... Obviously, I won't ask you directly where, but whoever's listening.
Bit weird.
Big trap. Oh, that's cool. We'll have to do it in flesh in the coffee.
Just we should do an ice cream on Penarth Pier. We've all got... So are you from Penarth, Jess?
No, so I moved here nearly a year ago now, so like Christmas time last year. And then, but I've been living in Cardiff since I went to uni here, so about 10 years ago, plus now, 11 years ago. And then just stayed here then, really.
Lovely. I love Penarth. Penarth is like my spiritual home because my grandma's from Cardiff. And she's always very jealous when I'm on the pier.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's such a nice place. My my brother has a Welsh cake business, right? And they're incredible, his Welsh cakes, aren't they?
Oh, they're beautiful.
Rogue Welsh cakes, for any Welsh cake fans listening. But he's got a pop-up in Penarth coming up. There's, you know the old Kitchener and Thomas down Penarth? Everyone's going, right, I'm turning this off. This is, I don't know or care about Kitchener and Thomas. But you know the old Kitchener and Thomas, so like next to the Bear's Head?
Yes.
In town, it's closed down, and they're doing a really cool pop-up inside with all different stores.
Oh.
And my brother's going to be doing his Welsh cakes in there in his Welsh lady dress. So I will let you know.
It.
Now I know you're in Penarth, you have to come and try some.
Have to pop in.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I do the store for him sometimes just because it's so fun. So I'll give you a shout when I'm down there, like turning well. I don't wear the dress though. Because I'm
shame.
Like,
well,
I have.
Why not? You've got to get involved.
Right.
It's just not funny when I wear it. It's funny when he wears it.
Yeah, Joe does rock.
He rocks it, the little bonnet and everything.
<Little bonnet. laughs>
But also, like, my brother's not single, so he can wear a Welsh lady costume. But I am. So, part of the deal is I get to go to these market stalls, make and sell Welsh cakes, flirt all day.
Pick up.
Do you know what I mean? Get a couple of numbers. I'm doing a vintage clothes stall in London at the moment, and I'm just like, well, this is my pickup thing.
Yeah.
I don't do internet dating, so I'm like, this is where I'm getting myself out there.
Putting yourself on the grid.
It's like, I don't want to, like, do you know what I mean? Jeopardise my chances, basically, by putting on a Welsh bonnet and a little apron.
Yeah, well, you know, all the Wales independent movement's moving forward, so there might be a lot of people out there who are big fans of the Welsh bonnet. Some guys are looking for a lady in a bonnet.
it's
very niche, isn't it?
It is niche.
It's niche.
Yeah.
Jess, I can't wait to talk about your BBC documentaries. So your first one, which is that When Nudes Get Stolen?
Yes.
Was the
so
first
When Nudes
one.
Are Stolen, that was the first.
And the one that came out this week, which is available on iPlayer, is about deep fake porn.
Yes, so it is on iPlayer now, deep fake porn, Could You Be Next, which is a really daunting title,
ominous.
I guess, for anyone that's never heard of deep fake porn before.
We watched it on Wednesday, and we were just discussing, me and Beth, so we were kind of watching it and Beth, you were like, what? What is this? She was like, I
have no idea.
But it's really weird. Obviously, you used to be a glamour model. I used to be a glamour model. We've been so aware of shit like this for years, right? Because our images were... like, you must have had it for years now. We've got people catfishing as us. Like, every week I get some, like, poor guy messaging me saying, oh, we're engaged. I've been chatting to you on these platforms that I've never heard of. Like, I miss you. Where did you go? You took my money. And I'm like, what? Like, we've had this for years. Mm. But it's great that... and it's not great because the rise in kind of things like catfishing and deep fake porn, and it's starting to affect kind of everyone, not just celebrities, models, people in the public eye. So, yeah, I just wanted to, like, get you to kind of... where did that journey start with making those docs, and how did that come about?
Yeah, so I'd always been quite outspoken, I guess, about, like, feminism, and it was really a bit conflicting for me, like, doing the glamour modelling and being a staunch feminist. And then I think, obviously, gosh, the magazines must have shut down about 8 years ago now. So it's a while ago now. And I remember it was kind of when Emily Ratajkowski, if I'm saying her name right, Emrata, let's call her, was really coming up. And I just loved everything she kind of stood for. And she was very much like liberal feminism. And I loved being on the shoots, you know, going to, like, a nut shoot, a zoo shoot. Like, I wasn't too fussed about, like, getting the clothes off, but I also wasn't like, oh my God, this is absolutely awful.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, like, they were, you know, for your agent, they're really legit, you have contracts. Like, it just felt like a safe environment.
I think you and I had a similar, like, people always say, oh, it must have been really sleazy, and it must. And I was like, I was lucky that the work, when we kind of started, the lads mags, the weekly lads mags that came out were very professional. And actually the shoots were, like, lovely. It was just like a bunch of mates hanging out doing a shoot. It wasn't seedy, but I was the same as you. I was like, I enjoy the job. It's not what I planned to do, but I fell into it. But there was, I think I've been the same. I think my feminist curve has probably got, I've probably become more outspoken since I've got older. But even then I was the same. It was that conflicting, like, oh, I kind of like doing this. I see that there's problems with this, like when Page Three got banned and everyone used to try and get me, you know, everyone was like, oh, do you want to go on BBC or Sky News and talk about why Page Three should carry on? And I was like, well, it kind of shouldn't. I was like, it's kind of a bit outdated, and I get why. So I was always, I think you're similar to me, that we had that, like, confliction in what we were doing. But yeah, like, what a weird place to be in.
Yeah, I think it isn't as black and white as,
yeah,
this was fine and then this was not, because, like you, I kind of fell into it. I wanted to get into modelling, and all the agencies just pushed me towards glamour modelling because my shape and my height, and, you know, I just liked being in front of the camera, which is probably why I've ended up, you know, now doing docs and stuff. So I enjoyed that part of it, but I was always a bit like, well, you know, especially I think as Twitter and social media started to grow, then you started to get all the attention from men online, and I was like, this is the part I really don't like. Like, yeah, when it was in a magazine, and then you just had your shoot, and it went in the magazine, and that was it. Whereas then when social media started to grow, then men could tell you what they thought about you, and that was the kind of bit like, well, I'm not really into that side of things. And then I guess I was a bit naive. I was, you know, I started modelling when I was 18 years old, and I think being naive, we were like, this is really empowering, which I think, you know, the shoot for me was, I felt great. But then, like, the aftermath for me of then getting all this stuff from men and these messages and these kind of like cyber flash and all of that, I was like, oh, like that's not really empowering to me anymore. So I was a bit conflicted from that. And then obviously the kind of mags closed down and I didn't carry on doing modeling. Like, I never set up like an OnlyFans and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, like I'm not really sure where I want to go with this now. So I just sat on it for a bit and then kind of carried on, I guess, with my feminist ideologies. And I did sociology at uni as well. So I kind of like was always interested in that kind of side of things. And then I think just as I got older, I started to like process it a bit more and the parts I wasn't comfortable with and the parts that I thought I was and then I wasn't. So from that was kind of where the docs came about, really. I got a bit more outspoken on social media, and I still think now it's quite a conflicting place, because I do think, you know, with the whole liberal side of feminism, it's like your body, your choice, and we should be able to do what you want without that kind of judgment. And I think with the at the time, I remember the band The Lad Mag thing, and I was really angry because I felt like, we, you know, no one's asked us about this. And then now I actually was listening to Laura Bates's Everyday Sexism book the other day, which came out back in like 2012. And I hadn't realised that she was one of the main campaigners for No More Page Three. And listening to what she was saying about how actually a lot of people were saying that it encouraged sexual harassment and just like attitudes in the street and stuff. And I was like, God, yeah, like I was quite naive to it back then, that I was like, how dare you try and take that away from us? But now, like on the outside, you know, 10 years later, I'm like, yeah, actually, I can see why girls didn't want to open the page and see boobs around the breakfast table with, you know, their dad sitting there or whatever. So I even think now, you know, I still think, say we have like Kim Kardashian and Ratta all over Instagram on social media posting sexy photos. And I think that's good to see. And I think it's good to, you know, normalize women being sexy and in their bodies. So I think there isn't a one way kind of answer to it. Like women should cover up because otherwise this, because then also men shouldn't sexualize us all the time and harass us if we want to get our bodies out. So yeah, a long way around of that's how the documentaries came about.
But it is fascinating, like we I think I started, I mean I was so, we were so young, you were 18, I was 19 when I started modeling, and when I started in 2003, like I don't even think Twitter, like with Twitter and that kind of social, I wasn't on Facebook. And it was that really weird transition of like suddenly people can just kind of talk to you, and this thing of like people catfishing, pretending to be us. Like you, Beth gets involved in, you write back to some of them, don't you? Yeah. Some of my more...
Yeah, I just like off the bat, I will go on to that because it's actually one of my favourite hangover activities, is to write back to some of your mad fans. That slide into my DMs. But I am just off the back of what you said, it's fascinating for me. Like, I love hearing about this. And it just occurred to me that, yeah, like, everything does get ruined by men. Like, it's like, why can't you have a fucking sexy photo with your tits out? Like, why aren't we allowed to do that without... Why is that? Why is the default not, oh, I'm either going to enjoy that, and that's, you know, a aesthetically pleasing thing, you know, because it's a woman's body and it's empowering and somebody looks beautiful and that's aesthetically nice. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've always had women looking lovely as like that, you know, those iconic Marilyn Monroe shots or whatever. And it's like having your boobs out, like we shouldn't be ashamed of that. But it's like to make it about it's men that have used it to dehumanize women and harass women and attack them and tell them what they think of those pictures. Same as anything on the internet. If you don't like it, just move on. Carry on living your life.
Yeah.
Why are you choosing what's in you that's so toxic and so vile that you go, I'm so angry and miserable in my life that I need to go out of my way to take time out to say horrible things to this person.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
But it is, it's exactly what you said. It's their own, like, it's their own kind of depression, self-hatred. It's like you must get this. If I comment on anything kind of political and I get, oh, shut up, stick to getting your tits out. And you're like, you have gone out of your way on Twitter to message someone, me, who you don't know, who you've never met. Like, it's so pathetic.
It's so pathetic. And it's like, well, then you stick to doing whatever job you're doing. Yeah. Stick to being an incel, please.
Yeah.
Don't get involved in, like, any of my business and what I want to talk. Also, it's like, I've always hated that, stick to this. It's like, sorry, we all have a vote. This is a democracy. I will, everybody is entitled to have an opinion. How dare you shut people
down? Oh, it's such a weird thing. I think, like, Gary Neville talked about it. Like, because Gary Neville's quite outspoken on Twitter, and people are like, oh, stick to football, mate. And Gary Lineker gets it a lot. And, like, I think Rylan wrote a really nice articulated tweet about that, going like, we're all, politics affects everyone, and you're going, oh, shut up, sit down, don't talk about it. It's like, what, are you that thick?
Yeah, it's mad.
I know, because it's like, I wouldn't say to someone who works at a supermarket or works on the trains, like, stick to working in the supermarket, stick working on the trains. But it's like, as soon as I think you're in the public eye, it's like, oh, you can't have an opinion about anything else other than your job. I don't know, it's really
moronic.
Strange. Yeah, but just actually, like, when you're talking there about men ruining everything, and I just think, you know, thinking back to how obviously there was a big, like, No More Page 3 and ban this, and this is really bad, and women are being sexually harassed. But then I remember growing up, like, I had a subscription to Sugar magazine, and then I used to get every week, and they'd have, like, Torso of the Week, and it'd be a sexy man with no top on and all oiled up. And I saw that from 14, 15, 16 years old. Like, but women aren't out there, like, sexually harassing men on the street, and we haven't had to close that down and, you know, make men wear tops out on the streets because women can't stop ourselves because our sexual needs, we have to, like, flash them on the street. So it's a bit like,
lovely
again,
point.
It's kind of putting the blame on women. It's on us, like, well, we need
always
to cover up because
always
we're encouraging sexual harassment, and actually it's really bad and men can't control themselves. And it's like, well, women, and we manage to control ourselves, or like lesbians manage to control themselves and not harass women who are out there getting their boobs out, so why do we have to cover up because men can't seem to control themselves? So yeah, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, exactly, yes to all of that. Yeah, so many things, like, I'm like, well, I just don't feel like women are out there doing this stuff, like sending those kinds of messages to men and doing that. Like, it's such a, yeah, and then women get blamed for it. I've actually pulled up a couple of these messages that I've sent to your people.
Oh, let's hear them.
This is, I get some very nice messages from people on social media, but some of them, a minority, are absolutely insane.
This guy,
I can imagine.
You must as well.
Oh, where's this one? So, you know, you mentioned in the deepfake one, isn't it, about which documentary where you talk about sort of the way people, it was the documentary before where you spoke to somebody who thought they'd been speaking to you.
So
it was about the catfishing and people have been using my pictures.
So this guy just kept messaging me relentlessly.
So this is a guy, he was messaging me, I think I blocked him.
Yeah, and then he was messaging me. And then, like, one of these messages came this one day. Hi, please can you say me, how's Lucy? I very, very so much worry, Lucy, please help me. And then, hi, I'm so sorry, I'm a follower of Lucy. Can you tell me, how is Lucy? I'm very worried about him, thank you. So I was like, oh, I thought, this guy. So I just said, yes, she's fine. I have no idea why you're worried. Like, I don't know why you think she's not fine. Like, please just stop sending me messages. All the best. So then he said, hi, my best friend. thank you for answering my message. Lucy knows me. And we message each other, but he has not sent me a message for 4 months. That's why I was worried about him. And now I find out he's fine. Please tell Lucy to send a message. I have a very important job with him. Thank you. And I beg you again, please tell him to give me a message. It is my life and death stance. Please, please.
Oh.
And the best for you, my friend. So I was like, right, this is mad. I said, I'm sorry, but she's never messaged you. Cut to Lucy in her bedroom secretly messaging.
I think you'll find that's my boyfriend there.
I'm sorry, but you were being messaged by somebody else pretending to be her. This does happen a lot, right? Because I'm like, just trying to be nice, going, right, look, this
he's clearly a vulnerable person.
Yeah, so I was like, look, it's not. And then he sends me, like, for all I can slag off social media for, which is a lot, the blue ticks does work. Like, if someone hasn't got a blue tick, it's not them, probably.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, I haven't got a blue tick. It probably is me, if I'm sliding into your DMs. So he sent me this, like, screenshot of, like, Lucy's biggest fans. Lucy is a popular, well-known blogger, actress and glamour model. No disrespect allowed. Just this, like, random account, right?
Right.
And he put, isn't this Lucy? So I said, well, no. I said, it's obviously not Lucy. It says it's a fan. What? And he's like, oh, my God, 3 years.
What?
I have for more than 3 years. that's the screw. I think she's Lucy. Thank you for letting me know. He played with my feelings. I don't forgive him every time. And I never make friends with any woman again. Thank you from you. You are very kind. Thank you. I said, look, that's okay. I'm sorry that that's happened to you and you were tricked. But better to meet and talk to people in real life than on the internet, probably. You know, best wishes. And then he's like, yes, that's quite true. You're very kind to me, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this went on for ages, didn't it?
Ages.
And he kept messaging me still. And then...
But this is the guy that he was like, thank you so much, Beth, my best friend, for telling me I feel like such a fool. A week later, back with the same stuff.
Resetting. And there's like lots of these kinds of ones, you know? And
basically, literally just back at it. I need to get hold of Lucy. I can't. And she's like, I've already told you.
And so many men. And I'm just going, if it's not a blue tick, it's not Lucy. And they're going, but I've been sending money. And
I had like an argument with one in my Instagram comments because he was like, you really should do something about this. And I'm like, yeah, right. I can't police the internet. I've said, if it's not my verified account, it's not me. It's probably a 60-year-old man trying to fleece you out of money in his basement. Like, what do you want me to do about it? I don't own the internet. And they're like, oh, it's really bad that people are doing it. And they get like angry with you.
Yeah, I've had that as well. Guys literally getting angry at me. Well, I've sent them money. I've done this. I'm like, well, it's nothing to do with me. Like, I can't help who uses my images. Like, that's just the way the internet is. And maybe if you get a bit clued up. And obviously this is kind of like the first documentary, News of Stolen, is what we looked at. And the e-whoring, as they call it, where people's, mostly women, have their images packaged up online and then they get sold or traded, and then that's like a perfect catfish package for them to use. So they'll have a username on there, they'll have a link usually to like the Instagram to get more content, they'll have like a little blog, Jess having her food, Jess with friends, Jess out at a shoot, and there's all these different kind of like scenarios. So when they're messaging going, what are you doing tonight, babe? And I'm going, I'm just watching telly. Well, they've got a picture because they've screenshotted like my story once where I was watching telly and stuff. Yeah. And it happens so often. Literally only last night in my bed, I reported another Instagram account for catfishing me. And I get it nearly every week still, which I'm sure you do. And all I get back from Instagram is like, oh, we're so busy. We haven't managed to look at this. Wow. Like just an automated response. And I'm like, great. And then what do you want me to do about that? You know, I think it's something that is so huge. But what really shocked me from when I was filming that documentary, Laura, who was one of the private investigators that I spoke to about the whole kind of catfishing world, she was saying, and I don't actually think this was in the doc, but she was saying that in these places, a lot of it is in Nigeria and the Philippines, they have this kind of like basically headquarters. Wow. And people work like shifts, so you'll do like a 9 to 5 shift at a desk somewhere catfishing about 10 people, and you'll have a script that you follow, and then you'll clock out and someone else will come on 5 till 20, you know, and
it'll be like a
and it's like a rotating shift where you literally are working at, like, in a business, and they all say the same things because they all have this script they follow. They've all got a sob story, like, oh, my mum and dad, you know, have kicked me out, or I'm pregnant, or my boyfriend's left me and I need some money, or I've got cancer. Like, there's always a sob story, there's always a time limit. It's the same old stuff that I see all the time, and I think it's just mad that this is happening literally like a business, and nothing can be done much about it. And Laura, the PI, so she works a lot of times, she'll get hired by someone who's been, you know, fleeced out a lot of money, and she'll try to track them down to at least just get them closure, usually, to find out who it is. But the problem is that obviously if a lot of it is abroad, then it gets passed to like the police in that country. And then a lot of times they haven't got the funds or whatever to do anything about it. So there literally is nothing to do. And I think, again, looking at the deep fakes documentary we did, it's a bit like, it's almost impossible to police the internet because it is worldwide. So you might make deep fakes illegal in the UK, but then if they're being made in America and distributed in America and it's not illegal there, for example, then what do you do? So I think, it's such a weird space, this online world. And unfortunately, a lot of it does get ruined by men who are using it for this thing. I mean, I've seen, I don't know much about it, but I've seen stuff starting to appear on my timelines about like the metaverse, but then how now women in the metaverse are being sexually assaulted by men, and I'm like, this isn't even the real world, but even that's already been taken over. So it's crazy.
It's like, it's that whole thing with like the internet where it's like, it's just like rampantly gone, and we're like, oh shit, how do we, but it's what you said about They can take a nipple down like that, right?
Yeah,
but they can't take a fake.
I know. It's like, oh, okay, well, how about I get my tits out and then you'll pay attention? Like, the things that they can control and the things they essentially choose not to is infuriating.
Yeah, but then also I think the prejudice that they have against people who post online. So I see a lot of influencers who are plus size or black women, and they will post, you know, sexy photos or, you know, not with nipples, but just covering up, maybe they're in a thong or whatever, taken down straight away, banned from the platform.
Wow.
But then you have people like Kylie Jenner, Kendall Jenner, you know, Kim posting really sexy photos. And because they're, you know, Kim Kardashian or whatever, then that can stay up on Instagram and get millions of likes. So it's not even like they have one strict policy.
And that's...
It's like they just pick and choose who, you know, what it is. So
that's fascinating. That's fascinating. Well, it's all to do with like the sort of pushing of the... I read this book called Beauty Myth by Naomi Wolf a few years ago, and it's a brilliant book that I'd recommend to anybody. But it's essentially about, and that's a really interesting point that you just made that sort of supports what she talks about, which is years ago, we didn't have the right to vote. And that was quite a tangible thing we could fight against. So we could go out on the streets and go, we want the vote, right? So if there's certain things you go, we don't have that, we want that. This unrealistic beauty expectation that's created, she's like, in some ways, it's more sinister, because how do we fight against that? And the way that we're controlled by, you know, our being shamed if we're overweight and we don't look a certain way, and that the way that the beauty standard has been raised. You watch a film from the 80s or 90s and you're like, they'd never allow a woman to look like that on the telly now, you know? So all of this, and your point supports just one of the ways that that is happening. So it's like, it's terrifying for that system, the patriarchal system, to imagine a world where women feel empowered to feel sexy if they are not really thin or don't look a certain way and have a certain amount of work done to their face, or, you know, like it makes me so happy when I see people online sharing pictures that aren't them being really slim, showing bits of fat on them, or I'm like, it makes me quite emotional, because I'm like, oh, I've hated my body so much my whole life, and if I'd had access to images like that, if I'd seen people going no makeup, showing their spots and, you know, seeing fat and just embracing, going, oh yeah, I look sexy like this, I find it so empowering and such an incredible thing. And the fact that those sorts of things get shut down, where it's like we are an image of beauty is being and sexiness and whatever, you know, all of the things that's being so controlled by those things being shut down and one beauty agenda being pushed, is so sinister and so terrifying, and backs up so much of what she talks about in this book. Because it's sort of, you know, and you get gaslit by men all the time. You know, I've dated guys that are like, oh, I hate this, actually. That whole like, oh, I don't mind if you do that. Oh, you don't have to shave your legs for me, and you don't have to do that for me. Or I don't mind if you wear makeup. It's not about if you mind or not. It's such low emotional intelligence that it's like, no, there is an expectation of how we look. And if I post a picture of my legs and they are hairy, that will probably get comments. I mean, not mine. I've got like 2000 followers. But if we look a certain way,
well,
we are
open.
Yeah, my sexy feet, my famously sexy feet. But do you know what I mean? There is an expectation, because women constantly get judged on how they look if they're presenting the news, if they're whatever we're doing. It's like, oh, she looks a bit rough, or oh, she's had too much work, or oh, why has she got her tits out, or oh, she's dressed frumpy. Like, we can't win. We're constantly attacked. So if we fuck it all off, we're seen in a different light. And if we embrace it, we've got to find this sweet spot where it's like, oh, she's pretty, but not too pretty. And oh, hasn't she got a nice figure? Oh, she's not too anorexic, but she's not too fat. And it's like this equilibrium, this like Goldilocks sweet spot that we're supposed to strive for to appease men and for them to be happy and not angry at us. And I'm sick of it, Jess.
I'm right there with you. I know it is something that, you know, and I before was like, right, I'm going to, you know, because I struggled before with like my weight and like being conscious about what I eat and all of that for years, really, since I was like just a teenager. And I've never been overweight, but it's just that pressure that you feel. And then I was like, maybe like a year or 2 years ago, I was like, right, I'm just want to be a bit more open on my socials. And then, you know, I was always, you know, size 10 to 12, which, you know, it doesn't matter anyway, but you know, I was posting stuff like, okay, say a bit like my cellulite and my rolls, and I was just getting more and more abuse, like she's getting fat on purpose and she's promoting obesity from all these men. And then I was thinking, that's actually really sad that you think a woman who's a size 10 to 12 who is just showing a bit of fat or a bit of rolls or whatever is
completely normal body.
Yeah, which is a totally normal body. It's like everything is just everyone's body is normal, you know what I mean? It's like nothing is abnormal. So it's just a bit like how they've been so conditioned is actually really sad to think that. And then we're being conditioned to look like that. And it's just like that never-ending cycle of, you know, wanting to look young, but wanting to not go too much of work and, you know, wanting to work out. And now I'm thinking, right, I'm back in the gym because I wasn't happy with myself. Then I'm like, well, I can't post about that on my socials because then it'll be like, oh, so you're not happy with yourself and you want to lose weight. And I thought you wanted to promote, you know, body empowerment.
And this is the thing. And then people have a go at us for like, you know, oh, well, then don't shave your legs. Don't get your hair dyed. It's like you said, it's like, where does that kind of end? Because you do want to look nice. There are, if I haven't got my roots done, I don't feel as good as if I have. If I leave my, you know, facial hair, I'm probably not going to feel very fit when I go out. So it's, but it's that thing.
It's so ingrained now. You don't know. If I like having smooth legs or if I've just been conditioned to like having smooth legs. I don't know anymore. But the fact that men make it about them and take it personally, the fact that they're going, oh, she, the fact that they are angry that they are seeing your body the way that it is, they need to look at themselves so hard. Yeah. And it's like, you know, not all men. And it's like, they even make us criticize experiencing this and criticizing it, they even make that about them by going, not all men. It's like, but it's enough men, isn't it, that this is a problem? So why don't you put your energy into calling out those men in the comments? You know, where are the men, like, you know, like sticking up for you or having a voice of reason in the comments?
And this is how we always talk about how important like allyship is, and this is why, like, you're a fellow Harry Styles obsessive, as am I.
Yeah, I am.
Aren't we all? He's beautiful. And that thing of like, I love him, but everything that he, like when he wore the dress for, was it Vogue or Elle or whatever? And these men that are just fuming. They're like, oh, he's in a dress. What's happened to men? And it's like, you're so angry that everyone wants to fuck Harry Styles because he's progressive. And it's like this resistance, like I think you, Beth was telling me a lot about this thing of, because we were talking to the girl who works on the vintage clothes store with Beth Clementine, who's just divine. She's like 10 years younger than us. And so we were kind of talking to her about dating and kind of dating trends. And some of the stuff that she was saying was just horrific, like less progressive. These boys who are in there, like, not all men, but she was like, I've had some really weird kind of experiences where it just feels like men are really pushing back because they feel really attacked by, you know, women's fight for equality. And it's like, I don't want to patronise, but it's like if they just understand, if the defensiveness was just lifted and like we're not seeing everything as an attack, but just
listen to us.
We need men to go, oh, yeah, no, I want my my female friends' lives to be a bit nicer.
Yeah.
Like, we do need, and I've spoken to like friends of mine that are like with the abortion stuff that's going on in America, and we get told, oh, it's not here, why are you worried about that? It's like, well, because it all travels over, these like political sort of
trends. We always follow America. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, we do have to worry exactly what happens in America because we copy everything they do.
And this thing of like some of our male friends like having, like, you know, it's a fair point to be like, oh, we don't quite know what to say about it because it is about women's bodies. It's like, yeah, but it takes two people to make a baby. Like, this is about you as well. And a couple of people that have been like, oh, it's just really hard for us because we don't know what to say. And I'm like, oh, that's sad. Is it really hard for you because you don't know what to say? What a shame. Yeah. But it is that thing of like, we need men, we need the Harry Styleses of the world to kind of be speaking up for women's rights and equalities, right? You know, we need that. And it's fucking sexy. It's so sexy.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure I've seen before online, and it was like an image of like what men think women actually want. And it was like this really like burly masculine man. And then it was like what women actually want. And it's like Harry Styles. And it's like that female gaze thing. It's like, we actually just want men to like recognize us as human beings. Yeah. Actually, and I think that's why people like Harry so much, is because there is that level, it seems, of like empathy and stuff. And I think that's the thing. Like, every time I post a lot of content, kind of like raising awareness about, you know, sexual harassment or all that kind of stuff online. And I'm not attacking anyone in one individual, right? I'm just saying this is a societal problem. All the time I just get loads of abuse from men, and like, will some women lie about rape and stuff? And it's just like, look, this isn't defending you know this isn't attacking you. So instead of defending, you know, I'm not making it up, this is, you know, there's been studies on it, all the women in your life are talking about it, like, why don't you just listen and actually want to help us? And that's what I find really frustrating. Like before, I've just been like honestly in tears after like reading my comments. So I'm like, you literally feel like you're banging your head against a wall. Cause it's like, right, but women are telling you of our lived experiences that this is a problem. Like you wouldn't raise your daughter the same way you raise a son because you know that this is a problem. And yet instead of just wanting to help out and maybe call out your male friends if they're being a bit misogynistic in the pub or sharing someone's images in a WhatsApp group or whatever, like instead you want to attack the women because you're uncomfortable that maybe you've done that before.
And yes,
it is like we're not going to get anywhere without men. So I always like, I'm not a man hater. I think loads of times like, you hate men. I'm like, I'm not a man hater. There's men in my life. I love men. I want to find a man to settle down with, you know. It's so it's like, but I would just like men to actually empathize with women and want to make a difference, because unless men change, all of us can speak out about it. But it's the male behavior, right, that's is violence towards women and girls that we're seeing having like devastating effects. So it's like, well, we can't change anything unless you change. So actually, like, we're not attacking you, we're asking you to work with us. And it's so frustrating, like posting all that on socials and then straight away being like, well, blah, 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 and it's just like, oh my god, like, and I don't know how we kind of get through.
It feels so disappointing sometimes. And it's just that thing of like, everyone will be happier if you're speaking out on behalf of the if men. And it's like you said, when they, oh, it's not all of us, it's like, no, but then call out the other men.
Yeah,
if you're saying, oh, I don't want to be associated with that behavior, don't do that silently. Like,
yeah, I'm so sick of that not happening. It's like, if somebody says something to me, you know, if there's a group of guys and they say, and one of them says something to a woman, like say we use catcalling as like the basic example, it's like, I don't want to have to tell somebody to get fucked.
I want
one of their mates to go, mate, fucking leave it out.
Yeah.
That's really only got to happen a few times for that to stop happening, I think, you know, just on a multiple scale, just call it out within your group. You know, we all do. We call each other out. If it's like, oh, don't maybe, so, you know, I just... Oh yeah, it's really upsetting. Like, we need allyship, and we need men to see us more as humans and not just make it about them, and empathize and understand and stop blaming us for, you know, victim blaming us.
And it's like, we, like you said, we love men, and it's like, it's not, and this immediate thing of like, oh, you're a man hater, it's like, absolutely not. I just,
because my male friends, you know, and I include my brother in this, because he's, you know, really opens and listens, and there's heaps of stuff I've called my brother out on over the years, you know, and he's like got no defensiveness in him now if I'm like, oh, don't say that, or if your mates say that, or this kind of behavior, or, you know. And all of the, you know, straight men, I'm going to say specifically, because this behavior is, you know, in my experience, exclusively sort of straight men attacking women like this and behaving like this. All of the best ones go, yeah, it's horrendous. There's no defensiveness. None of my straight male friends go, oh, it's not all men, or I don't do that. None of them. All of the straight men that I love go, yeah, it's absolutely horrific, and I don't know how you endure that, and they will just listen. So, you know, there are those men there. I just want more of it, and more of them being more vocal online. And for the, like, your pictures, Jess, I love them on Instagram. Like, I love the content that you share. And, yeah, I find it really empowering, really, yeah, lovely shot. There's a suit that you have worn in a picture.
Oh, the shoot with the yellow backdrop.
Oh, I'm obsessed with it. I'm
obsessed. Is it the floral? The floral suit. Yeah,
because I commented on that. Like, I want to know if you're, if like, if there's ever a time in your life where you're like, actually, that's going to the charity shop, please drop it off. Please drop it off to my parents' house in Bernard.
You're in Bernard.
Yeah, if you're ever like, oh, I'm sick of this suit now, then you know where I am. I'm obsessed with it. I was literally like, oh, and the picture's just great, but it's so nice.
Yeah, you know what? I thought I got it from misguided. And the other day, because I wore it again the other day, and it was actually from Zara, but it was years and years and years ago.
Oh, everything of course it is, because everything I love is from Zara. I'm like Urban Outfitters, Zara, like, but yeah, it's nice to be able to tell you in person how much I admire that. I was like, you know when you're fuming you don't own something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that suit.
Like me with that bloody Adidas jumpsuit. Yeah. So sad about that. But no, it is, it's such a lovely, anyone that doesn't follow Jess, you're at Jess Davies, aren't you?
Yeah, @_JessDavies.
That's the one. And it is that thing of like just lovely bite size, like fighting the good fight, like giving information, but in a really like fun, inclusive way. There's nothing I don't think there's anything about your social media that's like, that feels like electric, but it's just that every time I see your posts, I'm like, oh, Jess has articulated that exactly how I would have wanted to if I had the brain power. So I'm, yeah, we love your content.
Yeah, we do. Oh, we're big
thank
fans.
Thank you.
We're really
I love
big
that.
Fans.
And, you know, it's one of them things, because when I started posting a lot more about kind of like feminism and women's issues, obviously from my modelling days, most of my followers on Instagram are male. I think at one point it was literally like 90% male. Now it's dropped to about 70%. But, you know, it's still predominantly male, yet a lot of my content is skewed towards women. And before, people were like, oh, what are you posting that stuff for? But I'm like, actually, this is like the perfect audience, because
yeah.
women know this. So it's like women know what it's like to exist yeah. as a woman. And know, you know, all things. So that's one thing that, you know, I was saying not all men, but, you know, I think a lot of men still don't feel comfortable perhaps sharing that, so they wouldn't necessarily comment under my posts or whatever. But I do get men in the DMs that'll message me and be like, thanks so much, because that's actually made me think about the way I talk to my wife, or, you know, what my daughter must be going through. I've sat down and had this chat with her,
and it is really nice to
know that there are men out there. And, you know, they followed me for years and they still follow me. They haven't been like, she's posting all this stuff and I'm not interested. And I think you wouldn't usually have men that would perhaps go along and specifically follow someone who just posts about women's issues. They just happened to follow me because I once got my boobs out, and now they're like, well, I guess I'm just here. So I've kind of like inherited that male audience, which has actually worked really well, because they are learning stuff. And, you know, I do get guys going, oh, thanks so much, and keep doing what you're doing. And it is, amongst all the horrible, you know, messages that you do get, or comments or whatever, you know, is there one or two that you get every month that just makes you think, yeah, like, this is,
oh, it's so great,
making a difference. Yeah, and it's great to know that you can kind of hit through. And also I think that men do want to listen and learn. They just don't
yeah.
necessarily know where to do that, you know.
Well, not all men. That's the only time you're allowed to use not all men is in that context
You know, like on their FYP, for example, they probably wouldn't be getting stuff about, like, you know, cellulite or, you know, stuff like that, but they've just happened to stumble upon it. So I think there needs to be more content like that it cuts through. But I don't know how. I mean, I hope with the documentaries it kind of has steered guys to think it's something that they would watch and realise
how much of
it.
It's just being a voice, isn't it? It's just like, I think I've done that in the past few years. I've, like, you know, on social media kind of commented on stuff that I don't necessarily want to get into, you know, a back and forth with people. But there are a few, like, political and feminist ideologies that I'm like, no, I want to talk about this because I have a male audience that might not. And it's really hard for this not to sound patronising, but it's really not patronising, but just what you said. And I've had some lovely messages. I had a really lovely one on Twitter. There was a troll, do you remember? I can't remember what it was around. It was something to do with, like, violence against women, and something awful had happened in the world, in the press. And I had a troll that kept, do you remember the one that when he was like, oh, just get your baps out, and I kept sending him, like, pictures of, like, bread buns and things. But he was just, like, really just irritating, just stupid, like, writing all this stuff. And there was a lovely response from a guy whose name I can't remember that was kind of taught, and he said, oh, I never really, he was like, I always got really defensive when anyone talked about, like, male privilege or white privilege. He said, I really didn't quite get it. And now, I think it wasn't my words. I think I'd reposted some other people's stuff. And he was like, oh, I'm getting it now. Like, I understand that this isn't, no one's trying to take rights away from me. It's just understanding other people. And I was like, it really stuck with me, because I, not in like, oh, aren't I changing men? But in that way of like, oh, that's really nice that someone, it's like my friend used to be married to Gary Lineker, and Gary's very kind of, as much as he can be, vocal about things that he feels passionate about, and gets all of this, oh, stick to football. But he's got this amazing platform, which is a mostly kind of male following, to talk about things that are important socially.
Oh, it's literally like, I don't know what the opposite of the ick is, but like, people using, who've got lots of followers, using their platform to speak up for good when we're living under a far-right government. And, you know, let's be honest, like, a lot of that far-right and abusing women, there's a crossover. Mm. You know, a lot of that, if you've got, like, a, you know, an English flag and an angry face and whatever, and, you know, in your bio, then you're, you know, sometimes I look on Twitter like, oh, who's that said that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're having a go at women. Yeah. They're being racist. They're being, you know, whatever. Like, I that, like, people who do use their platform to articulate points in a way,
so
and
sexy.
Sort of like, it's so sexy and it's so nice. And I, you know, I've been an activist for years in lots of ways and become sort of more of a, not that I wasn't a feminist when I was younger, but I just didn't really engage that much with, you know, female issues like I do now. And I really, you know, I'm so vocal and so, and I do the odd sort of political post on my Instagram that I get really nice responses from, going, oh yeah, okay, this has nailed it. This has helped me have an argument. Sharing this has helped me see something in a different way. I've had lots of those conversations. But I'm like, that's, sometimes I feel like the whole reason I even want a platform and I do what I do is because I'm like, I want to speak up for what I believe is right. And I want to speak up for injustices in the world. So, you know, that's why I hate coming back full circle when people get shut down or don't talk about this, just stick to this. It's like, no, what better way to use your time on this earth and your following and the ears of the people that follow you than to go, you know, here's some fun content. Also, here's a way of looking at something. Here's an injustice. Let's talk about it. It's, yeah, I think it's, I love it. I love it. I think it's such a great thing.
Yeah, me too. But I think, something I read before online, I thought, God, that really stuck with me. It's like how, if you don't agree with something, say, for example, like you don't have to always argue with it. So like when I share stuff about women online, I'm not sharing it for us to then have an argument about it. I'm sharing it to raise a point. And then if you want to not agree with it and go and do your own research, then that's fine. And I think I saw something, it was like, when you respond to someone who's sharing that, when it's about their own lived experiences, for you, it might just be a fun little debate online. For them, it's actually really traumatic or exhausting. It's like, I don't want to have to fight why women should be respected or what, you know. And same with this guy that I follow, Ashton Hewitt. So he's a rugby player in Wales and he's had huge amounts of racist abuse online, and he gets a lot of stick to rugby because he talks about a lot of political stuff and racism online. And I think it was him that shared it, and it's like, for him, you know, raising awareness about racism isn't a debate to have online. This is his lived experience. And it's a bit like, he shouldn't have to be putting in the work to kind of persuade you that this isn't a lived experience that he's going through. You know, if you want to then go and find out more about it, then do your own research. And I think that's the issue online, is a lot of people want to be, you know, well, prove me right then, well, show me. And it's like, well, it's not really our work to do. I'm pointing you in the right direction. And then if you actually want to learn about it instead of just have an argument online, then go and do the work. And I think that's something that I've kind of felt online when I'm talking about women's issues a lot. And it's like, well, women lie. And it's like, actually, I think it's something like 0.0% of rape cases are actually proven as lies. And then, you know, there's 2% of rape cases actually ever end in persecution. So it's a bit like, right, 98% of women aren't lying, you know what I mean? So it's just a bit like, but why should I have to sit here and put my, you know, effort into my day to try and persuade you that, as a woman who's been sexually harassed and been sexually assaulted in the street? So it's just that thing of, I think, being aware that when you think you're just having a bit of a fun back and forth tit for tat on Twitter or on social media or whatever, for someone it could be the 10th time they've had to try and explain their lived experience. So that's the one thing I like really dislike about social media.
It's like heaven and hell, isn't it? This is the thing. It's like we're also like blatantly aware of the ills of social media, and there is good, and there is that thing of like
being able to share those opinions, which if they're not, you know, if we don't have access to them other ways, you know, if all we've got was like magazines and the news and the TV, then it's really controlled. You just see airbrushed, you know, images that are carefully curated and all of those things, and the opinions that are curated usually by men because they occupy most of those editorial jobs and control a lot of the programming, and a lot of those jobs are still dominated by men. So the social media sort of gives us this platform and the space and the autonomy and control in some respects, other than what we talked about earlier. But then, yeah, you're open to that as well. It's proper, it's heaven and hell.
It's hectic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is hectic. And then I literally saw today that Elon Musk has completed his Twitter takeover.
Oh my God, I saw this.
So God knows where that's going to go now.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to, we'll start our own social media.
I think we're
girls
all going to
Exodus. Girls only social media.
Yeah. Jess, Exodus, sorry, we've not given you a lot of time to talk about your podcast, which is Underestimated. Just give us a bit about, tell us about that.
Yeah, so Underestimated, and I'm like you guys, it's rough around the edges. I record it myself, edit it myself, so I'm kind of like trying to fit in the time to do all of that. But it is basically each episode I sit down with a guest and discuss a time in their lives that they felt underestimated. And whether they think being underestimated has helped or hindered their success. So had Aled Sean Davis was on quite recently, who's a Paralympic gold medalist. I also have Eliza Hatch on from Our Streets Now. So she talks about her campaign with sexual harassment. I did a podcast with Ashley Hewitt, the rugby player that I mentioned that I'm in the process of editing, trying to get done. So yeah, there's some really great people that I've spoken to, and I think we can all kind of relate really to that feeling of being underestimated, whether it's something small, you know, like your teacher underestimating you and that set you up for life, or whether it is something on a wider scale of the kind of world stage.
I love that. I think Pamela Anderson, I think a lot of people have made the same point, like Dolly Parton has, but there was an interview with Pamela Anderson when someone said, you know, is it really frustrating that people think you're stupid and underestimate you? And she was like, I use it to my advantage. She's like, because they think that some idiot's walking in. And it is that thing. She's like, all I've got to do is like string a sentence together. And they're like, wow. And I'm like, and I think we can kind of, it resonates with me as a glamour model when I used to meet people and they're like, wow, you're so kind and you're so nice and you're so intelligent. It's like, I mean, I'm fine, but they're expecting like a moron. So
I said that to you, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Personality.
But again, I don't know, and I can't in my own head work out if that's a good or bad thing. But also, Jess, so we are called Smashing Sundays. We need from you, what would your ideal Sunday look like?
As a little precursor, are you single? I mean, you don't need to say if you're single or not, but like, the reason we started this podcast was because we were single together on Sundays, and it's one of those sort of couple-y family days, famously, you know, sort of that's what. So Smashing Sundays was born out of us doing fun things as single people together, and, you know, spending it with our friends and making a Sunday a really cool, nice day. It seems to be a lot of my friends, especially those who were recently single, very used to sort of being like, oh God, Sundays are a bit depressing, you know? And we were like, right, let's change the narrative. Yeah. So a podcast was sort of born out of that, really. So we like to know from our guest, yeah, what's their like perfect Sunday? If you could, you know, limitless kind of thing. But
you can wake up with Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Limitless. This is dream world.
I was
dream
gonna start world. Something like really realistic, but now that it's limitless.
Oh yeah.
You can give us both. Do you know what? It's lovely. So many people do just go, oh, I want to have a lie-in. I want to have a roast dinner, go for a walk, like, which is lovely, but we're like, yeah, we need a bit more.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, anything. Like, yeah, who are you waking up in bed with? What are you doing? Yeah. So, what city do you want to be in?
I was going to say, like, yeah, a lie-in, I'd go for a stroll down Penarth, but actually, if we're going limitless, I would be, like, in the Maldives, obviously, waking up to that sunrise. Harry Styles be making me a nice coffee, bringing it to me in bed.
Sorry, is that what you want to do with Harry Styles?
It's because we've had that. It's because we were up all night. I've had
it. Apparently, he's got his barista qualification, so I just really want Harry Styles in my room to make me a coffee. Sorry, Jess, carry on. And what?
I'd have a coffee. Maybe he'd be wrapped in like a white, you know, like a nice white towel around the waist. Hello. Yeah, and then I'd just be looking out, and then I'd have my coffee, and then maybe I'd go for like a little dip in the sea, and then I'd have like an 11 a.m. Bloody Mary.
Oh yes.
And then I'd have a bit of like maybe Harry Styles music on in the background. Well, he'd be singing
live
to me. He'd be there.
Live.
So he'd just be serenading me whilst I just like soak in the sun rays of my Bloody Mary. And then
this is my ideal Sunday. Well,
this is like 11 a.m. What else would we do? Then we'd go for a stroll along the beach. Maybe we'd have like some fresh sushi. By the way, have you seen his new music video?
Oh my God, where he's half squid.
Yeah, I had weird feelings because I was like, why do I fancy like this man as a squid? I was like, I'm unwell.
That's hilarious.
So we'd have sushi and maybe served off his body like the squid. Who knows? And then maybe what would I want to do then? I mean, we'll probably go back to the water bungalow villa, have a bit of sexy time in the clean white sheets, you know, when the breeze is blowing on us. Then I might have a nap because that's a really difficult day, you know, it's took out of me. And then maybe we'd get ready, have some selfies on the balcony, obviously, to brag to everyone that I'm going out with Harry Styles. And then we might go for just a little candlelit dinner on the beach.
Oh, I mean, so yeah, I think we need we just stop the podcast now because
we've got to the.
Can you imagine? No more episodes. We've reached too early. Yeah. We've peaked on episode 4, season 3, Smashing Sundays. And what's your? I guess pick a Harry Styles track then, because we have a Smashing Sundays guest playlist. That we have,
which I will update. Yeah.
So you tell us your track to add to it.
I mean, yeah. Well, I've got to go Harry Styles on there now, and I think I'd go Cinema, like off his new album. I think it's like a nice, if you did wake up on, usually this is it, on my own on a Sunday in my flat and making a coffee, get my Alexa on, and it's just like a nice song that you can have a little bop to in your kitchen, in your pants when you're waking up on a Sunday. So yeah, Harry Styles Cinema would be my Sunday playlist.
What's going on? We're going to be DJing a set, aren't we, soon?
We are. Oh. Yeah, we're doing a Smashing Sundays. Is it Smashing Sundays or Smashing Christmas? Because it's on a Wednesday.
Yeah, so it's Smashing Wednesdays, also Smashing Christmas. It's just, and also probably getting smashed. But yeah, we're DJing a set on the South Bank, Christmas by the River. And we're going to include some of our guest like songs in there, and
so we will 100% put Harry Styles in for you.
Yes,
amazing! I love that. Smashing Sundays, Smashing Christmas, Smashing the Patriarchy.
Smashing the Patriarchy, yeah, absolutely. Smashing recording an ad hoc messy podcast, just smashing it all. But that's amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, Jess, you've been an absolute joy.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was so nice to just, chat away and put the world to rights.
Absolutely.
We'll have you back, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love that.
Please come back. And just, if you just want to do a bit now, just saying anything, what you've got to plug. So just give us your socials, what you've got out at the moment, so people can find it.
Of course. So my new documentary, Deepfake Porn, Could You Be Next, is available now on BBC iPlayer, as is my first documentary, When Nudes Are Stolen, so you can watch them back to back. And you can find me on Instagram @_JessDavis and Twitter @_JessicaDavis.
Beautiful. Thanks, Jess.
Thank you so much.
See ya.
It isn't necessary to call me on the phone. If you decide to come on by, I'll be waiting all alone. The whole week through I'm on the town, but Sunday always gets me down. So come by Sunday, make it after 3. Come by Sunday and spend some time with me. All week through I'm on the town, but Sunday always gets me down. So come by Sunday, make it after 3. Come by Sunday,